Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. God save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
And welcome and good afternoon, wherever you might be in a part of the world. Good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, this is the fourth part of some of the things we've been doing for the last four. This will be the fourth week. This week of what we've been doing. So this is the English Defence League radio show. Satanus Ex Machina, Part 4. And let me continue. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. From common plebs with too much freedom to a nice managed world gulag in one easy pandemic, that has been the plan the globalists have acted on since before the Wuhan virus broke out. We'll continue our series that highlights the tyranny resulting from this plandemic. The lies spun by the left's media lapdogs are coming apart before our eyes, and the resistance is growing. We are winning the argument. Now let's win. It's all for the future. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke back in 1770. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me pass it over to my colleague across the pond in Vermont there, out there. and of course, wishing you all my American friends out there, and I've got a lot of friends out there, and across the globe, welcome to you, Dave, into the studio. With that, Dave, take it away. I just forgot I was going to say, Dave. What was I going to say then, mate? I'm getting old. Back to you, Dave.
And greetings to everybody, of course, around the world, and, of course, off Earth, yes. What it is, ladies and gentlemen, is Jeff and I were having a talk just before the show started, and I think that we're all a bit tired with the intensity that the globalists have been bringing, trying to cover their lies concerning this Wuhan virus epidemic that became pandemic, and trying to make it out, they've always tried to make it out to be worse than it is. And now with the new particle infusion therapy that they have, they're trying to cover up one set of lies with another set of lies with another set of lies, and it's really a lot to have to cover to keep bringing you guys the truth. And the plain fact is, guys, some of us are feeling just a little bit run down. That's part of the reason that Jeff and I are going to be taking ourselves a little break later this month. The 15th, next Sunday, will be our last show before we go on a break. But, guys, you're going to want to still come around and listen each Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States, because we're going to have some fantastic encore shows for you guys, people you haven't heard from in a long time, just really great stuff. But be sure to stay with us now and be with us on Sunday the 15th, because we are going to bust out with some more truths, things that you must hear and things that you must share concerning all this. Yes, we may be getting a bit tired, but we're going to stay on the line as long as we can, and we're going to bring you guys the truth before we go on our break after next Sunday. Jeff, before we begin with the festivities, is there anybody in the chat, brother?
Yeah, we got our good friend Bigfoot with his blog spot debut sites. I always get this wrong. I'm so sorry, Biggie. Dave, we got Bigfoot. He said hello to yourself and to me as well, when I'm giving them a wave and a thumbs up. Thank you, Bigfoot brother. Dave?
All right, yes. Bigfoot's place at blogspot.com is where you want to go to read Bigfoot's blog, yes. And if you guys want to get into the chat, we podcast here live Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. That's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. If you want to get into the chat, go to blogtalkradio.com, look at the white top center search box, type in English Defense League Radio, and follow the links. You'll get to our live show. And if you're registered with Blog Talk Radio, you too can get into the chat. And Jeff will give you a shout-out. Maybe we'll have a little conversation on the air and whatnot. And, yeah, it'll be really good. All right. We're going to start out with something that, well, let's put it this way. This has been part of the overall plan ever since people realized that they could take advantage of this pandemic. So, guys, listen to this story that came out earlier last month. This will be a little over 5 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. Here we go.
New normal. Vaccine passports could be redeployed as national ID cards in the UK. By Kurt Zindelka on July 14, 2021. The United Kingdom could follow the lead of the European Union and Communist China in implementing a digital ID out of a redeployed vaccine passport, a firm developing a health pass for the government has said. Civil rights campaigners have warned that mission creep could result in the UK using a vaccine passport as a pseudo-national ID card after an American IT company contracted by the British government to develop a COVID certification pass suggested that the health passes could become part of the new normal. Intrust, which describes itself as a global leader in identities, payments, and data protection, was given £250,000 by the UK in May to develop cloud software for the government's COVID status certification scheme run by NHSX, the digital arm of the nation's socialized healthcare system. In a February blog post, the product marketing director for the firm, Jen Markey, said that vaccine credentials can become part of the infrastructure of the new normal. With the infrastructure and investment necessary to ensure a viable vaccine passport, why not redeploy this effort into a national citizen ID program that can be used for multiple purposes, including the secure delivery of government services, secure cross-border travel, and documentation of vaccination, she suggested. The civil liberties campaigning group Big Brother Watch warned that the proclamations from Intrust, which have previously developed digital identification systems for Ghana, Albania, and Malaysia, represents the mission creep inherent in the health papers push from the government. On Wednesday, Big Brother Watch director Silky Carlo told The Telegraph, "This is a giant leap towards ID cards," adding that if the government goes ahead with mandated COVID passes, it is likely we will look to bring legal challenges. Former Brexit Secretary and civil rights advocate David Davis told the paper that the implementation of vaccine passports domestically is an intrusive and very bad idea, which he noted is completely out of the tradition of Britain. Davis noted that there were 9,000 data leaks of government records last year alone, saying, "There are very serious civil liberties issues, serious issues of practicality, and serious issues of discrimination. Identity cards are spreading abroad, too." In June, the European Union announced that as a part of its post-pandemic transition, the EU Commission would seek to introduce a block-wide digital identity app that would contain passport, driving license, credit card and other personal information. Comparisons have also been made to China's social credit system, which has been used by the regime in Beijing to discriminate against people who fail to uphold the values of the Communist Party. The score, which measures seemingly mundane activities, awarding positive points for buying things like diapers and subtractions for buying alcohol, has seen tens of millions of citizens barred from traveling because their score was too low. Speaking to Breitbart London in March, the CEO of the online privacy firm DeleteMe, Rob Chevelle, warned that with the introduction of vaccine passports, Western countries like the UK could implement a sneaky capitalist version of the Chinese credit score. Mr. Chevelle said that the mass collection of healthcare data could lead to algorithmic discrimination in which decisions are being made without our knowledge just because it was easy to sort and categorize us as late to the vaccine, early to the vaccine, non-vaccinated. All of this information becomes easy to compare and sort against. Indeed, while the British government has so far refrained from mandating vaccine passports under law, it has publicly called on private businesses to enforce their own form of coronavirus restrictions, including the use of health passes such as the digital NHS app in places like nightclubs. Some businesses in the UK, such as Pimlico Plumbers, have already openly declared that they will require employees to be vaccinated. Ironically, the United Kingdom has already seen off an attempt to impose mandatory ID cards by the government, with a broadly supported campaign group seeing off the last Labour government's attempts in the early 2000s. It was the Conservative Party that finally killed off the National Identity Database for good in 2010, but which now apparently shepherding in an identity state by the back door. The campaign was supported by many top political figures of the time, including then-Mayor of London Boris Johnson, who famously declared that he would eat his ID card mashed up with his cornflakes. The government denied that the vaccine passport will be used as a national ID card, with a spokesman saying, "The NHS COVID pass allows an individual to demonstrate COVID status. It is not a form of national ID card and it never will be." The COVID status certification review, published last week, concluded that there was a public health benefit to using the NHS COVID pass. Follow Kurt Zindelka on Twitter here at Kurt Zindelka.
And welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff,
well,
what do you think, brother?
I've got to laugh, Dave, because they've been trying it for so long to bring ID cards in. Now, they're talking about it quietly because it got kicked into touch. And I remember it. I remember it happening, and people was every up in arms about, no, that's not going to happen. Guess what? This ain't going to happen. And they can shout and make an holler, say, well, it's the COVID. That's after COVID. You're trying to bring in ID cards. The general public won't accept it, and you will be kicked into touch. Bobo, I know you want it. It ain't going to happen. So I just look at it like that. They'll try. You know, that's just a bridge too far, Dave. And I remember the last time. They were trying it, all the things, and everybody's, it's not going to, if they can try whatever they want, they can jump through hoops, it ain't going to happen, and it ain't going to happen now. So, there you go. People who's out, listening in, take it from me. We've been here before, and it's just an excuse. Oh, it's the COVID situation. No, they've always wanted it, and it's Bobo who wants it as well. It's not going to happen, Bojo. Take another jump through that hoop, son, because it ain't going to happen now. Back to you, Doug.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, first thing I have to ask you about this is, and of course, you know, we'll be back in September. You know, after our great show we're going to have next Sunday, we'll be back in September, and I want to ask you right now if it's okay that at some point, because we'll be covering this Wuhan virus thing again at some point. You know, I really would like to use "Stuff the COVID" as a show title. I really want to do that now. You really made me want to do that, brother. What do you think?
I reckon it's been long overdue, me old son. Long overdue. You know the way I feel about it. Yeah. Stuff the car.
Right.
Yeah, this
rough
with that. Yeah.
There you are. Well, guys, now you can see why Jeff runs this program. beautiful. But I just have to say, guys, for the past month, we've been using science fiction to kind of backdrop all of this and talking about how so many science fiction writers and people have predicted some of this stuff in their dystopian writings and everything. And a lot of this story sounds like it could have been written by George Orwell 70 years ago. I mean, it really does. The entire thing, the Chinese social credit system that has their people chained via their cell phones and other things, and that's leaking over into Europe with all the things that Macron is doing, the Macron, as I call him, you know, the quake game bad guy. And now, as Jeff says, Bobo wants to try it over in the UK. And, yeah, this is something that you guys in the UK cannot let proceed. You've got to let these people know that so many of you will vote against them in the next election that no amount of cheating that they do will cover up the fact that they've lost. And you know, and you don't have to vote for Labour. There are usually other candidates out there. You can vote for them. You might get some very unlikely people coming in as PM. But it wouldn't be one of these big party, I won't say what Jeff would have said. It won't be one of these big party doofuses. Let's put it that way. No, I will not say wank splat. See, Jeff, you got to be proud of me. I did not say wank splat. But
you used it instead of me. So thanks for that. Don't say me using it. Yeah, thanks, mate.
You're welcome. It won't be one of these big party people because we know now. It doesn't matter if it's in the UK, if it's in France, if it's in Spain, all right, if it's in Germany, Australia, the United States. They're all the same. They're a bunch of rich, privileged people that want their power. They don't give a furry rat's ass about us, the people.
Of course they don't.
They can. Go ahead, Jeff, please.
No, Dave, I'm just continuing to say what you said. Of course they won't. Yeah, but Dave, I don't take you far away because you just tune yourself up to give it some large. Go on, Dave. Give it large, mate.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, well, I appreciate that, man, but I was pretty much finished. You know, I was almost going to get into a sidetrack and everything, but that is, in a sense, what all this is about. It's about people taking advantage of this Wuhan virus. Now, we can talk about where it came from and whether it was really released on purpose or whatever. We can talk about that all we want, but what is absolutely true is that people who want to take away our freedoms and liberties are taking advantage of this big time, and something's got to be done. We have to keep resisting. Jeff, is there anything out of the chat room before we move on?
Yeah, bear with me, man, Dave. Let's see. No, it's Bigfoot's just chilling with us, just listening to what we're doing there, mate, so... No, it's all good here on the side here, mate. All good.
All right. Now, guys, we are almost partners with and almost a part of the Exceptional Conservative Network. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for scheduling and technical issues, we would be a part of it, and we would be... broadcasting live on TECNTV.com right now. Ken McClinton is an excellent broadcaster, and he has been putting out some very brilliant stuff, and decided to use the first hour that he put on Monday to illustrate some of what's going on, not just in the United States, but what has been bleeding out into other countries around the world, including the UK. And Jeff has decided that it's okay, we're going to go ahead and run Ken's first hour, but it's going to be in four parts, and we'll stop after each part, and Jeff and I will comment on those. So, Jeff, if you're ready, I'll begin with part one.
Yeah, go for it, Doug.
All right, guys. This comes from the 2nd of this month, and this is Kenneth McClinton of TECN-TV. This will be about 13 minutes long. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Let us begin.
I'm yours truly, the exceptional one, Ken McClinton, and I want to warn you, ladies and gentlemen, that we're beginning to see the fall on the right. You're beginning to see the fall on the right in submission to the dictators from the CDC. Now, apparently, we're all going to die, and many of us have been waiting for that for like 18, 20 months now. We're all going to die. And the Democrats are running into a problem. This is what the Democrats are running into, and we'll talk about Biden in just a moment. But the Democrats ran on this platform, and if it is legitimate that they won, which we all know is not true, they did not win the election, they stole it. But nonetheless, if they legitimately won the election, they won the election based on the fact that Donald Trump mishandled COVID, that the economy was sucking, and people wanted something different. They wanted work, and they wanted to defeat the disease. A disease in which Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama helped watch over, being created at the Wuhan Institute in China, a communist Chinese republic that it is, honed and manufactured and governed by the Chinese Communist Party. You see, they watched over gain a function research by some guy named Fauci. And Canada and a few other nations helped in terms of creating the institute and supporting it and financially gracing it with support that was necessary for it to carry out a gain of function activity, which later led to the creation of a Frankenstein virus called COVID. I guess we now have an understanding of what COFIFI is. Huh, yeah, there you go. It's just the whole concept here of what an immunization is has been turned upside down. And we no longer understand that an immunization requires matter of the virus or germ to be included in the actual vaccination itself in order to be a true vaccination. Other than that, it's just a shot in the dark. Bet you haven't heard that one. It's a shot in the dark. A genetic therapy is not a vaccination. And I think we went over that several times in our show. We had Major Webb on our program. We had as well a number of other scholars who speak to that particular. Jane Ruby as well, who was on InfoWars earlier today speaking about the COVID virus. Well, it's not really, yeah, well, it's a virus, but it's a Frankenstein model virus. And they did not include that, ladies and gentlemen. They did not include that in the actual immunization. Because I just want to be as frank with you as I possibly can tonight, because we're getting variant informations that you probably wouldn't get anywhere else. About the COVID virus itself and about the effectiveness of the quote-unquote vaccination. Can we just, let me just go to the online etymology dictionary in terms of what immunity is. Immunity means is a medical sense of protection from disease. Protection from disease. And normally when people think of protection from disease, and this goes back to 1879, so this is not something they made up in the 1970s and we're just, no, this goes back to 1879. It means protection from a disease. And what most people believe a protection is, it's kind of like Tom Brady's offensive line. They protect him and give him enough time to throw the football down the field in the attempt to score a touchdown. It is expected that if you call something a vaccine, which is matter used in vaccination, or in the Latin vaccine form of vaccine pertaining to a cow, pertaining to a cow. That's why I use smallpox. There you go. So the whole concept is that something inside that vaccine will protect you and give you immunity from getting it again. But let me, if I could, and I'm going to put this in the chat room for those who are following along at home. There is a story out of the Hill today. A story out of the Hill. And I want you all to understand, I'm not making this stuff up. I just want to make certain that you are able to go forward with it. Share it with the world. There is a gentleman named Lindsey Graham. Now, some of you may or may not know Lindsey Graham. Probably invited him to your kid's birthday party, but, you know, he didn't have time to show up. But Lindsey Graham is a U.S. senator from South Carolina. Lindsey Graham made a huge statement today on the Senate floor. No, it's not over. The pandemic apparently is not over. Once you got a good thing, you don't want to lose it. No, Senator Lindsey Graham said that he had tested positive for the coronavirus even though he was fully vaccinated. Again, we're not going to any longer use the term vaccinated. Thank you, Lindsey Graham. We will no longer use the term vaccinated because, again, what do those terms mean? Immunity is protection from the disease. Vaccination is the matter that's used in the vaccine. And apparently, the matter that's used in the vaccine does not protect you from the disease itself. You think I'm joking? Okay. Well, let me just go here then.
The new CDC internal report not only acknowledges that so-called breakthrough infections are rising, but that they may be as transmissible as unvaccinated cases.
Were you surprised that you had been vaccinated and got sick anyway?
Yes, absolutely.
Catherine Griegel in Florida is still in isolation after testing positive about a week ago. She was vaccinated back in March.
You can still contract the virus and you can still get sick, but you're not going to get as sick as you would if you had it. So I feel like I'm very fortunate.
The CDC stopped providing public information on total breakthrough infections in late April when the tally hit 10,000. Instead, it only posted data when they led to hospitalization or death. So NBC News reached out to all 50 states. 38 responded. We found more than 125,000 fully vaccinated Americans have tested positive for COVID. According to a CDC internal document, there are now roughly 35,000 breakthrough infections per week. Keep in mind, that's a tiny percentage of the more than 160 million fully vaccinated Americans.
If you are vaccinated, you have 25 times less chance of getting hospitalized or dying.
In Provincetown...
Wait a minute.
Bye.
Wait a minute. That's not what you said when you gave people the shot, now is it? Let me just ask a certain nonpartisan individual that very same question. When you were standing in line to take your shot, and they probably had you lined up as if you were going to the slave trade center, when you were standing in line, did anyone in line say, oh, if I get this shot, I will be 25% less likely to be hospitalized when I get it again? Is that what they said? Cricket, probably not. Probably no one in line heard that they could ever get sick again. No one. Now, I have a clip that I have to get. Because my executive producer sent it to me. Please, while I'm on the air, if you could send it to Gmail, that'd be great. And that way I could just download it, copy and paste it, and that kind of thing. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, 160 million people fully, quote-unquote, vaccinated. When you get vaccinated from something, what are your expectations? And what, it's only 35,000 people? Well, only 4,000 people have been recorded dead. from taking the shot. But we're not quibbling over numbers now, are we? Isn't that kind of shady when someone, especially a reporter, says it's only 35,000 people? Man, you could die in a hospital, but you're 25% less likely. 25 times 160 million people, quote unquote, fully vaccinated, and 35,000 people have gotten the virus. Really?
Native Americans.
If you are vaccinated, you have 25 times less chance of getting hospitalized or dying.
In Provincetown, Massachusetts, a COVID cluster of 882 cases is linked to the Delta variant. The CDC analyzed nearly 500 of those infections. About three-quarters of them were in people who had been fully vaccinated. Just four were hospitalized. In Los Angeles County, during the first 2 weeks of July, fully vaccinated people made up roughly 26% of all new infections. Martha McAdam, a kidney transplant recipient, was vaccinated in February but came down with COVID in March. She was hospitalized for 48 days.
If I hadn't had that vaccine, I wouldn't be alive today.
And that's why public health experts say the vaccine works despite breakthroughs. A Yale University study recently submitted for peer review estimates that here in New York City alone, the vaccine campaign has prevented a 250,000 cases and 44,000 hospitalizations.
There you go. So I gave you credit, NBC. There you go. I gave you your credit.
And we give you credit. Welcome back to the English Defense League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think of the first part of Ken's transmission there, brother?
Well, very interesting, you know. That's what I like, you know, different things. And, well, how about that? Why bother to have... inoculated. It don't work. He's still going to get COVID. Duh. I think I'll get another COVID injection. It don't work, but I need to put it in because my next door neighbour done it. Oh, my God. And it's terrible, Dave, eh? What'd you do, eh? I mean, Lindsey Graham, he's had two double jab. And he gets COVID. very interesting, I've got to admit. So it's a fallacy. I think we sort of realise that nothing works. There's no cure. There's no cure, ladies and gentlemen. It's obvious. Don't matter if you've been double jabbed or what. If you're going to get it, you'll get it. It's not true. Whatever they said, oh, you'll get two injections and you'll be cured. No, you won't. Far from it. You can still catch it. Doesn't matter how many times they jab you. That's what I come to. Oh, my goodness, man, it's a realism. It don't work. That jab don't bloody work. It's, you know, why haven't we had the cure for the common cold already? Ladies and gentlemen, how long have we been around for the common cold? Forever. And they're trying to do the same thing with this thing. There you go. Guess what? It ain't working. It's always going to be that. There's always going to be a new variant. It's the Delta at the moment, probably a big Gamma. Give it a couple of months' time. You won't see. So it goes. It's all brain pattern things, isn't it? But Dave, I just want to just vent myself a little bit. The fallacy of this so-called fake. The facts work. No, it don't. Oh, don't they annoy them people, Dave? Telling us all to get it. Why should we? With all the side effects and all that, it's working. Brain going to turn it to squash. I mean, me and Dave was just talking about it before. So, I taking a chance. And always Dave, and was any of my mates taking a chance with that crap. Back to you, Dave.
All right, Jeff. Now, before I get in and talk about it, we do have a caller in studio. I don't know whether this is a troll or not. Wait, you want to give him a chance? It's 503 there.
Well, why not? Why not? Okay, let's bring this gentleman in, or lady. Let's bring him in now. And ending in 443, you are live on the English Defence League radio show. Good evening, and how are you? And what would you like to talk about this evening?
Hey, so I was recently down south, and it was...
Yeah, Jeff, I know that voice. That's why I just cut him off.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
it's the same. It's the same troll. Yeah, dude.
Oh.
Get a new voice.
He's not
I'll
tell you what, mate. You're listening.
He's not
you're
very
not very good. We got your bank to write me up, Sam. Zero, dear. Go away with some new material or change your voice or something.
Maybe he, you know, Jeff, maybe he ought to go on Amazon and get one of those Darth Vader voice changers, you know?
Can we get shot of him anyway? Use that, we'll get rid of him anyway, so he can't win, can he?
I don't think so. Although I have to tell you, Jeff, I am thinking about going and buying one of those Fauci lied, people died T-shirts. I'm really thinking about doing that, especially for wearing to my next eye doctor visit. Because they always try to make me wait and all that kind of stuff. And I guarantee if I go in with that T-shirt, I'm not going to have to wait very long at all. you know, they'll be more than happy to get me out of there. Okay. What Ken is basically saying here is that we're finding out now that this particle infusion, as I've been calling it, and gene therapy, as he's been calling it, is not a traditional vaccine. I mean, all of us, or almost all of us, as children, got real vaccines. I know, Jeff, you got some, and I certainly did. And they were real vaccines. They were a weakened form of whatever virus they were vaccinating us against, and we haven't gotten those. But you see these stories of these people saying, yeah, I got vaccinated, but I'm in the hospital and I'm dying, but, I'm really glad I got the vaccine because it would have been worse otherwise. No. What's happened is you've been hooked on a therapy, and the plain fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter. You're hooked on the therapy, and you got it anyway. It's not a cure. Okay, now, you know what, Jeff? One of the things that happened over last summer was when President Trump and other people were talking about hydroxychloroquine as a treatment, not a cure, but as a treatment for the Wuhan, the lefty news media went crazy for two reasons. Number one, the hydroxychloroquine is cheap. Okay, a typical treatment for it would cost maybe about £1 for per treatment. All right, the typical price for these injections is way up there. I mean, you're looking at thousands of dollars per injection, and the big pharma is getting hugely rich off this stuff. But here we are now, and it's really beginning to sound to me, Jeff, as if this is just another treatment, and it's a treatment that only lasts about half a year. And then these poor people who went in and got the injections and everything, they were convinced to do so because they didn't check it out, or they're so brainwashed by the left that they can't think to do anything else. They got in and they got the infusions, and now, very sadly, and I am sad for these people, they're paying for it. So, Jeff, is there anything out of chat before we begin part two of this?
Let's have a check. Bigfoot says, Bigfoot said, according to Biden, did you hear Biden? What a dipstick. He said, Biden has said, according to Biden, over 350 million Americans have been vaccinated. Which I think most of us know, there's not 350 million in the country, Biden. Duh! Thank you, Bigfoot brother. 350. It gets bloody worse, doesn't it, eh?
Well, Yeah, it does, Jeff. Well, now, of course, about 350 million Americans is about, that's about our entire population, and no, it's nowhere near that. And I have to say that I have a real respect, appreciation for my black brothers and sisters here in the United States of America, because most of them are not vaccinated. They're not falling for all of this propaganda. And that is just showing that there is some common sense there. And it's a kind of common sense that everybody should practice in all of our countries, guys. Now, Jeff, if you're ready, I will go ahead and begin part two here.
Yeah, I just want to say something. What was I going to say now? All this about people, you know, you talk about people taking notice of the left, this, that, and the other. It's not so much that, Dave. It's just listening to what's on ITV, BBC, Sky News, all that. That's where they get their... And that is the reason why, oh, I better go and have my jab because they're talking about it on the TV again. Oh, dear. Wake up, people. You know, there is a bubble outside of the TV. That's the real world. And all this double jabbing, guess what? You're going to have a booster in the next few months, and they die. They don't get it. This is going to always go on and on and on. You don't think it's going to end, do you, ladies and gentlemen? Because it's not. That's just the beginning. You will have a booster every 6 months or so. I'm right there, and I'll die, but I ain't making any mistakes of it. There's going to be a booster. Simply, the booster, you need it because there's a new variant coming. That's what they're going to be saying from now on to the end of time, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you, Dave.
Well, Jeff, you got a point there, and that's the thing. This is the beginning of the new addiction. And, yes, people, we do have proof of this. Next week, we are going to run an interview with the guy who patented the technique for these particle infusions, the actual technique for the drug itself. All right, so you can't find a better proof of what we're saying than a guy who has that kind of background saying the things that he's going to say. It's going to blow your minds. All right, so Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and run part two. This one will last 10 minutes. You ready, brother?
Yeah, go for it, Doug.
All right, guys, this is part two. This was done by Kenneth McClinton, CEO of TECNTV.com. And this was done on the 2nd. And by the way, if you guys want to go and find the entire interview and a whole lot of other stuff that he puts on, just go to rumble.com, excuse me, and look for TECNTV.com. Where are your papers? Washington Examiner demands genetic therapy. Okay, just look for that much, and you should find it on his Rumble page. And we have that right here on our show page at the English Fence League Radio Show right here at blogtalkradio.com. So you'll find the entire thing there. But for now, we're going to just do part two. Here we go. You're listening to the English Fence League Radio Show.
So without a doubt, some of you all are under the impression that a vaccine actually prevents you from getting sick. That a vaccine actually prevents you from getting sick. Okay, well, let me go over this with you very quickly, and I'll put this also in the chat roll. And then I want to mention the 10 most successful vaccines in history. The 10 most successful vaccines in history. And I want you to know COVID is not one of them. COVID is not one of the 10 at all. Not even close. It's not even in the top 20 at this point. But the 10 most successful vaccines in history. Let's go back to the origins, pretty much, of gene therapy. No, actually, we're not going to do that. We're going to go back to the origins of virology. The number one all-time best immunization, which means protection from the disease. A vaccine means matter in the vaccine. It's the matter. And we all know that the COVID disease is not in the genetic therapy. It's a genetic therapy. Smallpox, 1796, British doctor Edward Jenner speculated that protection from the dreaded pox could be obtained through inoculation with a related cowpox virus. See, remember when we talked about pertaining to the cow? We, the Latins, early Latins understood. There's you get that disease from the cow, you'll be inoculated. Inoculated means that you get the jab, get the shot, okay? And what's in that shot, although they were not giving shots out that time period, just saying, just letting you know. In terms of an inoculation, it's the shot in the arm. The vaccine is the matter within the shot. Where does the matter come from? It should come from the disease or the germ or virus itself. If you get the jab, then you expect to be immune, protected from the disease, never getting it again. So back in 1796, before they had all that technology and all that money rushing in to create these quote-unquote genetic therapies, Dr. Jenner boldly tested his theory by inoculating the arm of 8-year-old James Phipps with cowpox prostate liquid, taken from the arm of a milkmaid, Sarah Nims. And it worked. Today, smallpox has been all but eradicated globally. That's 1796. Okay, so they used a similar virus strain, pumped it into the 8-year-old boy. He never got smallpox. How about rabies, 1885? The first attenuated, weakened live viral vaccine was developed by none other than Louis Pasteur using desiccated rabbit brain tissue inactivated with formaldehyde. Crude, yes, but effective. A 9-year-old boy in France mauled by a rabbit dog was the first to receive the injections from Pasteur himself. Talk about emergency FDA approval, huh? There you go. Here's pertussis, which is whooping cough, 1914. The vaccine, a suspension of wholesale inactive Bordetella pertussis bacteria, was first developed by American pediatrician Lila Denmark. Inactivated vaccines were prepared with a virus that had been killed, again, usually with a strong chemical like formaldehyde. How about the Spanish flu? Because everybody always talks about the Spanish flu in comparison to today's COVID. The Spanish flu pandemic, 1918, killed over 50 million people worldwide. This particular influenza virus was unusual since it spread so quickly around the globe after World War I and was so deadly among the young and healthy adults. About one-third of the world, over 500 million people, were infected over its 2-year scourge. Okay? Spanish flu pandemic, 1918, hit the young people. But apparently COVID is not hitting the young people. Here's number four, diphtheria, 1924, also known as the strangler. Diphtheria toxoid was prepared from inactivated bacterial toxin that lost its toxicity when heated, but kept its antitoxin and immunogenic properties. French doctor Gaston Raymond discovered the diphtheria toxoid at none other than the Pasteur Institute in Paris. There you go. Something about Louis passing on that great skill to others. Gaston Ramon, diphtheria. Tuberculosis, number 5, 1927. The Bacille Calmette-Guerin vaccine, live but attenuated, became the most widely administered of all vaccine in the WHO's arsenal. Tested in cattle, it was first given to a French newborn baby in Paris whose mother had tuberculosis. Tuberculosis. Defeated with a real vaccine. Notice what's in all of the things that I'm mentioning. Notice what's in all of the vaccines I'm mentioning. Yet the matter that's in the vaccine happens to be the virus itself. Yellow fever, 1935. Epidemic spread by mosquitoes and swamps attacked the men building the Panama Canal in 1912. A live vaccine was developed by Max Thieler, who famously used chicken eggs for culturing the vaccine on a large scale. It was used widely on troops in World War II in the Pacific Theater against the Japanese Empire. 1935, yellow fever. Influenza, 1942. The first flu vaccine was introduced to the armed forces first during World War II, also mass-produced in chicken eggs. Who came first, the chicken or the egg? It didn't matter because you had the egg. The vaccine was licensed for public use in 1945 and following the war was used on civilians. Today's annual flu vaccines offer immunization. Immunization is protection against the disease, against multiple flu strains at once, though never with 100% effectiveness. People who tell you about the flu shot will also tell you that it's not 100% effective. Those are good doctors. Have you run into a good doctor? DPT, 1948. Polio, 1955. MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella, 1971. Those are the 10 most effective vaccines ever created. Ever created. And then you can go to hepatitis, you can go to HIV, varicella, you can also go to, HPV is questionable. But nevertheless, it's questionable for giving it to young people. You shouldn't give it to young people. They're going to give it to your kid anyway. The truth of the matter is that you have to use the germ or the virus to create a traditional vaccine that will provide virtual immunity, which is protection against the disease itself. Notice that the flu strain, no matter what vaccine you have, it's never 100% effective. And when you tell people that they're getting a vaccine and they're really getting a genetic therapy, you're lying to them. And you're setting them up to get sick, injured, even dead.
And that's the truth. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Jeff? What do you think?
Yeah, very interesting. It's we're talking about some of the other vaccines that was created, and I knew he was going to mention the smallpox because it was back in the 1800s, wasn't it? Something Dave, but I remember it from history, you know. But it just goes to show you that we've had to have some fantastic people come along with great ideas and spent a lot of time, and you'd never thought they'd create a vaccine like that from cowpox, and it worked. It was pretty, in the times, it was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you look back now and it was still phenomenal. All the things, like whooping cough, things like that. But it was somebody in the background, in their laboratories working, against the time and the clock and everything, because they knew you know, that how bad things could be. And maybe these people saved so many people's lives, and it was quite obvious that was the case. Good on them, and they will always be heroes to all of us. I can't see anybody being any heroes at the moment that we can. Fauci, you can trust him as far as you can throw him. He's probably committed more genocide than anybody else in history. It's just, this is just a crazy time we live in, Dave. There you go. I could say more, but I'm going to leave it up to you. What do you say, Dave? What do you say?
Well, what all Ken is doing is showing people what a real vaccine is, and the fact that, in for the most part, in Western civilization, none of these diseases are around because of those real vaccines. This wasn't some treatment that people got hooked on that they had to get every 6 months until the day they died. These were real vaccines, and that is what the typical thing really is. And as far as the heroes, Jeff, yes, those doctors were the heroes, but today's heroes are the doctors that are stepping forward now and telling people the truth, that they're the doctors, they're medical workers, they're people who were involved in all of this, who are stepping forward and being whistleblowers, and they're saying, no, this stuff is not real, and you know, the truth is the exact opposite of what you're being told. They're the heroes, and it's an honor to me, and I know you feel the same, Jeff. I want to throw it back to you. I know you feel the same, Jeff, to be around to help spread the word through those heroes. Am I right, brother?
That's absolutely correct, Dave, because there's a lot of them that's coming out now and speaking out because, you know, they can't sit on their hands no longer, and they can see the damage that's been, what's happening around them. And being men of ethics and, nurses, etc., they've got to do, they can't with any conscience just sit on their hands. They're different type of people than we are, Dave, aren't they? You're saving people. You're there. Doing your job, but when you see they're going against the ethics of what you do, it totally goes against everything you stand. That's why some doctors have actually walked away. I've heard some cases that, because when it gets so bad, you think, how can I work when it's just a lie? They're living a lie, and I don't want to live a lie. And a lot of them have got, qualities and morals. That's it. Basically, in the end, they've got morals, and they need to tell us, the people, exactly what's going on. We've heard the nurses that's coming through, and we've heard some absolutely horrific cases of people being held down. And so, thank goodness that we're seeing that, and there's going to be, the floodgates are open now, ladies and gentlemen. You won't see over the next few months. You're going to see a lot more, and you're going to hear some harrowing stories. Just wait and see, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you, Dave.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. And if you might want to check, is there anything out of the chat before we hit part three?
Yeah, just bear with me, Dave. Hang about. I think we had someone that did come in, Dave. Just bear with me. I'm just trying to see it. I think it was someone coming who went out. Flycatch joined us. And then Flycatch left the conversation. He was here and he was gone. But Bigfoot says, thank you, Bigfoot, for joining us as well this evening. It's always good to see your comments. According to the 2020 census, we have 330 million. Maybe the other 20 million of illegal aliens. Biggie, I love it, man. I love it. take the injury that day. Thank you very much, Bigfoot. Appreciate it. Dave?
Yeah, yeah, Biggie, I think you're right, man. I think that Jim Crow Joe was counting that other 20 million as the ones they're letting across the border now. So, yeah, that kind of bodes for our future. But we're going to go ahead with this part three, guys, because the clock is ticking on our show. This is going to be about 13 minutes long, and what you're listening to is Ken McClendon, the CEO of TECNTV.com, a great network with a lot of shows from different parts of the world. We're talking about places like Africa and the of course the United States, and he's getting more and more shows on his network. It's definitely a place worth listening to. He's got his Rumble page on our show page here at blogtalkradio.com, so be sure to check into that. But we're going to do this. This one is part three of the show that Ken did on the 2nd of this month. Here you go. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Am I making this stuff up for you? Am I just trying to scare the bejeebers out of you? No, pay attention.
Throughout the pandemic, athletes have been the most tested population on the planet, sometimes providing examples of emerging theories about COVID-19. And as countries around the world continue to fight back COVID-19, attention has turned to Tokyo, where the Olympics are underway. One challenge some athletes are facing, testing positive for the virus despite having been vaccinated. This isn't the first we've heard of this.
What are the chances of getting COVID-19 after receiving a vaccine? Well, you got a better chance at buying a winning lottery ticket. But it happened to Warriors player Damian Lee.
He will be out at least 2 weeks. It was not a false positive as first thought, even though Wallman had been vaccinated.
Yankees GM Brian Cashman says that three players tested positive and three others are likely infected. About 85% of the team is vaccinated, including those who have the virus.
These examples are known as breakthrough infections, which occur when someone tests positive for COVID-19 at least 2 weeks after getting their final shot. Do these breakthrough cases mean the vaccines are failing?
No, the vaccines are not failing. The vaccines are working extremely well and as expected. They do protect the majority of recipients from severe disease.
That's what vaccines
Stand
are
by for BS,
to
people.
Prevent death and severe disease. But most vaccines, including those created to fight COVID-19, don't completely protect you from infection. So it's not all that surprising that breakthrough infections are showing up. As of July 12th, more than 159 million people in the U.S. have been fully vaccinated. CDC data suggests just under 5,500 have had breakthrough infections resulting in hospitalizations or deaths. That's one in approximately 29,000 people who have been vaccinated.
Breakthrough infections are something that we want to monitor, but in terms of their overall influence in the pandemic, they play a much smaller role than transmission among people who haven't been vaccinated.
But these cases raise questions about our immunity to the virus and hint at a future in which it isn't gone completely and we learn to live with it. That's due in part to variants. Research shows that variants, including Delta, can partially evade the immune response from prior infection and vaccination.
We mount a really good immune response against the virus that our body is trained to recognize. Your body is really good at recognizing and neutralizing those specific threats. But when the virus starts to change, sometimes it doesn't recognize the virus as well, and so that's how you sort of see it chip away at that immune response. That's one of the reasons that health officials are really sort of concerned about this global vaccination drive in order to, you know, prevent the virus from spreading, both to save lives and to prevent it from further mutating and evading the immune response.
The Delta variant is the most contagious version of the virus to be identified. But research suggests that full vaccination is still protective against severe disease and death, the outcomes that have made COVID-19 so devastating. What dictates whether someone is more likely to get infected, even if they're vaccinated? Dr. Hatsuyanu says there are four main variables. First is the amount of virus that is circulating in your community.
So if a great number of people around you are infected, then the probability of you getting exposed obviously increases. If you're in close proximity with people that are infected, particularly those that are unvaccinated and have generally higher viral loads, then the probability of you getting infected increases.
wait a minute. When you were standing in line at that hospital or at the Walmart with all the illegal aliens trying to get their shots after crossing the border, did anyone tell you that there are some variables that will take place that would make it likely that you will get infected again? I mean, think about it. Did anyone tell Lindsey Graham, who announces today that he has been infected, breakthrough infected? He says, I was just informed by the house physician I have tested positive for COVID-19, even after being vaccinated. And quite frankly, vaccinated does not mean 100% immunity protection against the disease, because they're lying to you. It's not a vaccine. It's a genetic therapy. He says, I started having flu-like symptoms Saturday night and went to the doctor this morning. I feel like I have a sinus infection. And at present time, I have mild symptoms. I will be quarantining for 10 days. 10 days because senators and congressmen are not regular people that need 14 days. See, they're super beings and they get 10 days. Graham was one of 17 GOP senators who have been helping advance a bipartisan infrastructure bill, meaning its supporters will be down a vote until he comes out of quarantine. Wow. The same Lindsey Graham that said, I will fight every single day against joining any bipartisan infrastructure bill. But that's not our story tonight. Our story tonight is that Lindsey Graham is infected with COVID, infected with a virus that he's supposed to be fully. What does the term fully mean to you? When someone says, I have full coverage on my car, which is stupid, you should never say full coverage, but nonetheless, what they're saying to you is, I am completely covered and protected from any dangerous thing happening to my vehicle. Guess what that conveys to the mind of the average medical customer, the consumer like you, of the vaccine? That means to them that it doesn't matter about infection rates. It doesn't matter about vaccination rates. It doesn't matter about my individual behavior. It doesn't matter about my immune system. You have vaccinated me, and my background on vaccinations is smallpox, measles, mumps, rubella, yellow fever. See, you eradicated those with a vaccine. And now you tell me, I can get it again. I can get sick, and I could die.
The second is tied to vaccine uptake.
So if a large portion of the population is vaccinated, then your virus transmission, virus loads, everything decreases. So the chances of spreading the virus amongst this population obviously decreases.
That's
bull.
Lie.
I just finished her point, but I know she's going to say something different. But that's bull, because the CDC said, and we showed you Friday night, that the people who are vaccinated are just as deadly as the people who are unvaccinated, because they spread the same level of the disease. So just because you're immune, quote unquote, which you're not, just because they say that you are immune does not make you immune. And actually, the vaccinated people are the most dangerous. The unvaccinated people are not. You know that they could possibly get sick, but they've been in this environment for 18 to 20 months, even with the Delta variant, and they still haven't gotten sick. So apparently their immune system is doing something that everybody else's isn't. When you say fully vaccinated to people, ladies and gentlemen, you know what you're saying to them? That you are completely protected from getting sick. You are completely protected. And my friends, that's not true.
Transmission, virus loads, everything decreases. So the chances of spreading the virus amongst this population obviously decreases.
That's because vaccinated people act as a kind of shield. Even when they do get infected, a recent CDC study found that vaccinated people carried less virus and potentially didn't spread it as much as unvaccinated people. Cases...
That's a lie. That, my friends, is a lie. You see, the CDC is one of the biggest miscommunicators and misinformation sources for COVID. Because a test of what? 1,000 people?
The vaccination rate...
Pardon me. A test of 1,000 people or 8,000 people is not a test of 160 million people.
That makes it harder for the virus to spread overall. Roughly half of all Americans are fully vaccinated. But in some states and globally, the vaccination rate is much lower, giving the virus more opportunity to spread and mutate. That's why having large gatherings, like concerts or the Olympics, can be so challenging from a public health perspective. Third, individual behavior matters.
So as measures have been abandoned, such as masking and social distancing, when you don't have a significant number of the population vaccinated, then the ability of the vaccines to protect you from getting infected.
What is a significant number? Explain to me exactly what a significant number is. If you vaccinated every American and people still got the virus, does it matter if you social distance? Does it matter if you wear a mask? Especially if you're hanging out with Dave Chappelle or doing a wedding in Adams Morgan. I mean, what difference does a mask make? What difference does it make?
Decrease.
Finally, even after vaccination, individual immune systems vary in their ability to prevent and fight off infection. Older and immunocompromised people seem to be more susceptible to breakthrough cases, and those tend to be more severe.
That's why health officials are considering additional doses right now, primarily for people who have a compromised immune system and might not have produced a good immune response after two doses of the vaccine.
Breakthrough cases might be asymptomatic or mild, so people may not know to get tested, but that's not the case for athletes.
We're actually seeing breakthrough infections happen a lot more among sports teams like baseball or for the Olympics, because those are the people that get tested pretty regularly, even if they're vaccinated.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold up. Hold up, Shirley, whatever your name is. Hold up. So what you're saying to me is people have to get tested on a regular basis. Is that what you're... So even after you get fully vaccinated, which we know is fully genetic therapy, not vaccinated, fully genetic therapy, you have to be tested as often as an athlete to determine if you could get sick again. So really, the athletes are determining for you, as often as they are tested, the fact that it doesn't matter what genetic therapy you use, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, they're going to get sick again. Even the healthiest ones get sick again.
Yes, they do. Now, welcome back to the English Fence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think, man? You can unmute your mic. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Basically, it just clarifies what I said when I last made a comment about the whole thing. You know, this therapy, whatever they want to call it, it's just not working, is it? You know, all this that, as you say, it's not even a vaccination. It's what is it, Dave? It's you called it, I can't think of the name at the moment, it's going out.
Particle infusions, yes, yeah.
Infusion, that's it. That's all it is. This isn't the magical drug that's going to cure everybody. It's not. People are dying through it. You know, it's not happening. And all this is just the lie, isn't it, Dave? It is the misinformation. And people like Fauci should be put up on a bloody Nuremberg type as a trials for what he's done to the world. There's no ifs, no buts, and people like him, of his Ike. All of them like that, because there's a lot of people that suffer. There's people dying by themselves. I'm not going to go, but I think we all know. We've heard, like me, like you, ladies and gentlemen, not us all, we've heard some absolutely harrowing stories, and if it don't bring tears to your eyes, then you're not human, because some of the things I've heard, and the same as you, Dave, and many of our listeners out there, we've heard these cases, and people that, you know, tell lies and to misinform people, and everybody goes running to listen to what they're saying, and they're just going around the circles with you, because, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to make it obvious. There is no cure. There's no magic drug. They're hoping that, you know, these pharmacist companies are making fortunes out of your misfortune. They're making fortune out of your misfortunes, ladies and gentlemen. Who said there's not a cure? You know, we can just hope that it will come. That there will be a cure of some sort, but I'm going to tell you the way. This was a manufactured a virus. It's not like anything we've seen before, simply because it's been manufactured. It's been made in a laboratory to go whatever you go against it with. It will change. It will, you know, it will improve itself, and that is what it is. It's a super bug. Basically, is it? Am I right, Dave? Am I closing the mark here? Am I over the target with what I'm saying? Because I don't want to mislead anybody in what I'm saying this evening. That's you, Dave.
Well, Jeff, that is an opinion that a lot of people have. And my opinion has always been that with the exception of the ability of the virus to mutate, which most viri, when they first make people sick, yes, they mutate naturally, but the mutation is always weaker than the initial virus. It's always weaker. It's always been that way throughout recorded history. Now, this one, this particular one, seems to be, I would say it's probably about the same strength, more or less. However, I want to talk more about the fact that they're flailing around now, trying to support their lies. It's the Delta variant, which, by the way, guys, has been around for months. In the UK papers, they called it the Indian variant. All right, or now this new thing that the breakthrough infections. They're trying that garbage on us now. That's a new thing. That's a really new thing that they're trying. And these audios and videos that Ken was playing on his show, the Exceptional Conservative Show, which comes on at 9 p.m. Eastern in the United States, Monday through Friday, and that's 2 a.m. in the U.K., by the way, on weekdays, starting Tuesday through Saturday. That stuff was going on, and at the same time, you had these people implying that if people get these particle infusions, these therapies that the big pharma are pushing to have everyone get, that the virus won't mutate. That's scientifically impossible. That's why earlier on when this stuff was playing, I broke in and went, what? Because that's what I said when I heard it the first time. My jaw dropped. I can't believe that one of the women in one of those videos actually styles herself a medical profession when she can stand there with a straight face and have the copper-bound nerve to say that viri don't mutate. Viri always mutate. It always happens. But this, Jeff and listeners, is typical of the fact of the flailing around that they're trying to do to support these lies just so Big Pharma can make a big bunch of money and get you guys hooked on a treatment, not a cure, but a treatment. Jeff, do you have anything more, or is there anything out of the chat before we hit the last part of this, brother?
No, I don't think so. Just check. Bigfoot says large gatherings like Obama's birthday party. That's what he's just said. They're large gatherings like Obama's birthday party. Thanks for that. I don't know what's significant about that. There's large gatherings, like Obama's party. So, yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, thanks for that, Big. As usual, it's always put something interesting in the chat, and I really appreciate it, brother. Back to you, Dave.
Yeah, well, I think what Biggie means is that, at least over here, over here in the States, the large gatherings like Obama's birthday party, hanging out with Dave Chappelle at a wedding, or going to a BLM riot and burning down half a city and looting a bunch of stores and beating up a bunch of people is not a problem when it comes to Wuhan virus transmission. But if you want to go to Sturgis here in the United States, or if you want to go to a Trump rally here in the United States, or if you want to go to a pub in the UK, that's considered, of course, a super spreader event. The old double standard with which, Jeff, you and, all the EDL, foot soldiers and angels are quite familiar with, brother. Now, guys, we're going to, the show's going to run very slightly long, but we programmed it that way anyhow, so we're in good shape. We're going to start this last part here, and it is going to be about 13 and a quarter minutes. This is the final part of the show that Ken McClinton, CEO of TECN TV, ran on the 2nd of this month. So let's get this last part started. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
At the Olympics, organizers of the games are scrambling to deal with a rising load of athletes and officials who are testing positive upon arrival in Japan, some with breakthrough infections. The vaccination rates are low in Japan, cases there are rising, and organizers didn't require those participating to get vaccinated. Dr. Hatsuyano and many other experts remain concerned that holding a large-scale international event prior to reaching a critical mass of vaccinated individuals has the potential to contribute to the virus's spread around the world.
The Olympics is a special event, and it's truly remarkable that it brings all these people from all these different countries together. But it also poses a perfect ground to mix variants and spread the virus that will then go back to each athlete's country.
That's the Wall Street Journal, ladies and gentlemen. And what they're trying to do is tell you that the panic isn't medical. Well, it's medicinal in the sense that some of you all went out there and got the jab or the shot. They're trying to make it cool, right? Did you get the jab? Did you get the shot? But the truth of the matter is you got a genetic therapy which is filled with toxins and is re-engineering your cellular tissue to quote-unquote fight off the protein that makes up the virus. However, those toxins are impacting you dramatically. And no one knows what the long-time side effects are for this. Let me tell you how political it is. Right now, Nancy Pelosi is trying to put together legislation to continue the ban on eviction notices. Why? Because starting Saturday, while Mayor Muriel Bowser was dancing on the floor of a wedding in Adams Morgan with all the rich to-do, no to-do-at-all. Well, people were getting evicted in Washington, D.C. People were getting evicted in Baltimore. They were getting evicted in Atlanta. They were getting evicted in New York. They were getting evicted in Portland, L.A., Chicago, Dallas. They were getting evicted around the country. Why? Because the White House ban under Donald Trump of evicting tenants has expired. And there's nothing, nothing Joe Biden can do about it, because it requires either a full public health emergency, which would literally take away all of the freedoms and liberties of the United States of America, or it takes Congress to pass legislation to make that happen. Why do you think the CDC is ramping up so hard to make cities, and mind you, they didn't know that Virginia wasn't going to go along with this, okay? But it's an election year, and no one wants to be put under the microscope for something that's not working. But let me show you how bombastic they are. And how they think you are so stupid. That's why they're laughing at you at Harvard and Johns Hopkins and in the UK and in China. They're laughing at you because they think you're stupid.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And they're going, the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients. And that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her, and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me, and she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.
Medical doctor telling you the truth. But you're not going to find that on MSNBC. You're not going to find that on CNN. You're not going to find that on Fox. Because Fox is getting rid of the people who would love to report this kind of stuff, and they're getting a grant monies from the CDC and others, and Pfizer and Moderna are buying up ad time. Yeah, Johnson & Johnson, they're all buying up ad time. Why? Because it is a corrupt system. Do you understand why Nancy Pelosi, Chuck E. Schumer, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Anthony Fauci are trying to force Congress to pass legislation on an emergency basis to protect 13 million Americans from being thrown out on the street in the next 90 days? Because it wouldn't look good politically. You see, remember I started off this program saying, wait a minute, If it's true that Donald Trump lost the election, which is not true, just check out Arizona, baby. It's not true, not diggity diggity true. If it's true that Donald Trump lost the election, then he lost the election because the economy went bad. And right now our GDP only grew at 6.5%. And inflation fears are just going through the roof right now at the Fed. Yeah, people are concerned about this economy. Check out the stock market. It may have some up days, but it's been having a whole lot of bad days. The economy is wobbling at this particular juncture. You can't find enough people to work because there are not enough jobs anymore because the businesses were deemed non-essential and they went bankrupt and they're not there anymore. No matter how much you try to open up your cities. So if 13 million people get kicked out on the street, the majority of them are going to be in urban America. And if they're in urban America, that's the Democrat Party. That's Tammany Hall. That's the corrupt Marxist establishment. Do you think they could possibly lose power in elections? Hell yeah. In a nutshell, they are scared to death because a medical doctor and others are tired of being pushed around, and they want to tell you the truth.
I work for a large hospital system in Broward County, Florida, on the anesthesia team. Last night, the house nurse manager came to my department and told us that we must prepare for a COVID crisis that's going to start next week. And they're going, the hospital will be taking part of our recovery unit, anesthesia recovery unit, to house COVID patients, and that we cannot allow surgical patients' families to come visit them, which we do pre and post surgery, pre and post anesthesia. And I looked at her and I said, how do you know you're going to need our rooms, our bays? And how do you know there's going to be a crisis next week? She tilted down her glasses. She looked at me. And she said, you know what's going on by now. And I said, yeah, I do. And everyone else just went, oh, here we go again, and shrugged their shoulders. Does anyone else find this really strange besides me? It's about time that this whole corrupted, stinking system is brought down. Seriously. Because I'm really hating my job right now. I can't stand this corruption anymore. Please share.
When a medical doctor puts everything on the line to tell you the truth, you better believe it. Because I don't think a single medical doctor told you before you got your shot, before you got your jab, that you could possibly get it again, get sick enough to go to the hospital, and die. Not a single one of them. Because they're all running around telling you, you won't have any more problems. Utopia has been found. And you, ladies and gentlemen, are free, free at last, unlike the unvaccinated people. Lindsey Graham tonight has COVID. He used the phrase fully vaccinated. We learned tonight on this show that there's no such thing as fully vaccinated when it comes to COVID. In fact, the term is genetic therapy, and you are not protected 100% against COVID. So why is Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Kamala Harris, big tech, big gov, pharmaceutical industry, medical industry, psychiatric industry and community quote-unquote leaders. And now, even the right, the Washington Examiner, demanding that you get a genetic therapy that does not protect you from COVID. Where are your papers? We'll be back in the second hour, which will not be recorded, but you're going to miss out on a whole lot. This is why you should tune in every single night to the Exceptional Conservative Show, ladies and gentlemen. We will be talking in the second hour about whether the CDC is hiding something, and they are. They are ginning up a global pandemic.
And there you go. Welcome back to the English Fencing Radio Show with host Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff, what do you think about that conclusion, brother?
Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, it's nice just to sit back and to listen to things and then, you know, add a little bit at the end like we normally do. So, yeah, I don't know how everybody else, but I thought it was great. It was great just to sit back a little bit and to take things on board and then have our thoughts about things. And basically, that's what we do week in, week out anyway, isn't it, Dave? So, yeah, really find it enjoyable. This series has been good. I hope you've enjoyed it, ladies and gentlemen. We've, myself and Dave, Dave's done all the hard work bringing things together. So, you know, Dave's done really, really excellent with these four episodes. So there you go. Thank you very much, Dave. And there you go. So thanks, mate. Back to you, Dave.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. And guys, next week we're going to end this series out, and we're going to also end out our live participation for a little while. We're going on vacation after next week, but you got to tune in next week because we're not just going to have we're not going to just drop bombs next week like we did this week and like we have throughout this series. We're not going to just drop bombs. We're going to drop atomic bombs. I mean, we're going to let you guys know of some wild there'll be stuff in there that you will really need to hear, and you should share out all these shows anyway, but the one next week should be one that you should absolutely share. And I want to share with you guys right now what Ken McClinton will be doing on Tuesday morning, starting at 2 a.m. in the U.K., and that will be Monday night, starting at 10 p.m. Eastern in the United States. All right, these are the headlines he's going to be working on. This guy, we follow a few guys that really work hard at doing this stuff. Steve Dace is one, and Ken McClinton is the other. Let me just give you these four headlines he's going to be working with. WHO. Concedes the COVID-19 virus is just like the common flu. 500,000, and we've always said that, by the way, 500,000 Americans dead from vaccine. That's the first headline. Second headline, the CDC whistleblower tells top doctor vaccine injections already killed 50,000 Americans. All right, and his third headline, there's four of them. Whistleblower alleges 45,000 killed by vaccine. Now, in the fourth one, Nobel laureate, Luc Montagnier. Now, get this, guys. Warns COVID vaccine may lead to neurodegenerative illness. Now, that is what Ken will be working on next week. And remember, guys, what that lady said, that anesthesiologist. She said that hospital in Miami, Florida, in the United States, is preparing for a Wuhan crisis next week. Next week meaning starting tomorrow. Okay, so you guys are going to need to be watching the headlines in the U.K. and in the United States, because that could be a bingo thing, Jeff. There could be a lot of these people whose vaccines have run out, whose particle infusion therapies have run out starting next week, and that could be what it is. They're more vulnerable now to the Wuhan than they would have been if they hadn't had anything at all, and they're going to start getting sick in larger numbers. That's how I interpret that. I don't know how you do, but that's how I interpret that. So, brother, have you got anything to say? Is there anything more out of the chat before I do my finals?
It just feels like we're on the dawning of a genocide, a massive, global genocide. That's why I'm saying, I was feeling quite a lot depressed. And basically, it's the thinking of poor people out there. They don't know what's coming, do they? I don't want to frighten people, but people should really be allowed to know exactly what's coming down the path. It's scary times, Dave. But myself, I've always liked to be honest with our listeners out there. But I think that over the next few months, there's going to be a lot of heartbreak, a lot of families. But at the same time, I am optimistic. I do know that we will come through it. I don't know the type of people we'll be at the end of it. I'm sure we'll be strong. But, yeah, as you say, Dave, starting next week, and expect to see absolutely horrific stories coming out. And that's the thing. It just, after a while, ladies and gentlemen, so as I was talking to Dave earlier, it's not so much grinds you down, but you feel the weight on your shoulders a little bit because of how many people have succumbed to this. Young people, older people. Whatever we're experiencing, I still think it's man-made, and I think it's terrible, and it's almost like it was predicted. This is what they predicted, and they want to shorten. The global people cut the numbers. Yeah, I'm not going to go no deep because it's been talked about. Many people have talked about this, but it's just this in my mind. But anyway, Dave, let me pass you back to you because I'm going down a bit of a dark path here. But it's just it's just a lot of people being mentioned how they're feeling a heavy weight on their shoulders. But we always try to lift the light and shine a bit of a light along the path. We've all succumbed to going through bouts of depression because of the crap that's brought down upon us. But that's you, Dave, and I do apologise for bit of a world come down to that, but it's just the way it feels at this moment. But I'm sure, this time next week, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back fighting like I normally am. I'll never give up, never give in. And we will never, ever surrender to whatever they throw at us. We will bat it back, and we will prevail. That you don't.
All right, Jeff. Well, now, is there anything left out of chat before I do my final?
Have a look. No. That's just it. I've got to thank you, Bigfoot, for joining us this evening as well. Bless you, brother. It's always good to see you in the chat room as well. So, no, Dave, it's just nothing's been said in there at the moment. So, back to you for your finals, Dave.
All right. Now, I ask everybody to please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My normal show times are 1 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. And I'm trying to bring out new shows on Saturdays at midnight Eastern in the United States. And that's 5 a.m. in the U.K. I'm also available through Western Free Radio and SHR Media. And I'm on with Ken McClinton Thursday evenings on his program, The Exceptional Conservative Show, which comes on at 2 a.m. on Friday morning in the U.K. and at 10 p.m. Eastern, of course, in the United States. And I just want to say that I'm also available on social media. That's where I'm posting a lot of the stories that we do, guys. I'm Dave Milner, M-I-L-N-E-R, or Agador, A-G-G-E-D-O-R, on most of these things. I'm Agador underscore, using the underscore after my name on the Twitter because they blew up my UBG contact account. But I do have another UBG contact account on Magabook, and I'm also Dave Milner Agador on CloudHub and MeWe, Minds, Mumblet, Parler. Don't spend a lot of time there, but Tommy Robinson is on Parler, by the way. Spreely, USA Life, and I'm always Agador on Gab. And I'm going to be finished speaking after this, Jeff. I want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and all of the truth tellers out there, and, of course, to Biggie in the chat, and to all of our brothers and sisters, the heroes who are stepping forward now and telling the truth and spreading the truth about all of these issues surrounding the Wuhan virus and all of the tyranny that is going on because of it. And, of course, all of the truth tellers about Islam. Be prosperous. Be blessed. And thanks to Jeff, and no surrender ever. Jeff, back to you, brother. Take us home.
No surrender ever. Jeff, Dave, done, Dave. Once again, I've got to thank Dave for all that he does for the show, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the slides, the script, putting things together. Dave works tirelessly, so we got the show. He was like to me, Jeff, check it out. And you know what? He works so hard. So I've got to give you a little salute, Dave, because you so deserve it. He works very hard, ladies and gentlemen. But thank you, Dave. And we'll be back next week. And as I say, with a great script and great slides, ladies and gentlemen. Great teamwork, as I say, as usual, me and Dave. It's what we have got. We've got that teamwork. Seem to read each other's minds, don't we, Dave? And certainly, it's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, I hope you enjoy what Dave and myself does. Week in, week out, we really do enjoy doing this and getting the message out to you people that, you know, how the mainstream treats you. Well, you come here with us and you know how you're going to be treated with dignity and respect and truth. That's what we guarantee you great listeners out there. So furthermore, I will go on to say we'll be back again next week, same time, same place, and same channel. That's good, isn't it? Anyway, I've just got the boys are in the corner, Dave. They're all standing by. Be behaved. They ain't flicking no peanuts at me tonight. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. But anyway, I'm going to let them. Okay. You ready to roll, yeah? Yeah. Okay, well, they're ready to roll, Dave. And listeners, so with that, take it away, boys.
Good night, Biggie. Good night, Jim.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
I'm so happy. I can see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys again. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, I don't mind. The public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. Society's got some going underground. What is the prospect for you? That's the path going underground. What is the voice of singer? Let the voice of shout for tomorrow. People might get some pleasure as they hate me. I've been up already on my height. People might need some attention to relax me. I'm too busy dodging between the facts. You see, here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and don't place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises come. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Society wants. I'm going underground. What's the prospect for your people?
Well, there you go. Okay, lads, we'll see you next week, yeah? Okay, catch you later. Yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That scares the O's to jam. Off to do some whatever they're going to do. And we'll see them again next week. It's nice, isn't it nice, Dave, that they queue up every week? Sometimes they behave themselves, sometimes they don't. It was good this week, though. No peanuts was flicked. You didn't get no peanuts flicked your way, did you, at all, Dave, by any chance? No, I don't think so. But anyway, we'll be back next week, guys. All I've got to say now is from myself, from Dave, and from us all, you take care, you stay safe. Stay safe, and with that, also... Oh, actually, something. Hang on, what am I doing here? I'm trying it. Just bear with me. Yeah, as I say, you take care, stay safe, and we'll see you again next Sunday. So, good night, and God bless. Cheers, guys. Thank you very much.